Thank you for tuning in to the Kingdom Over Castle podcast, where we seek to unite God's people in Northern Nevada in order to see lives changed and lives saved. We have a great opportunity right now to make a difference in our communities, but it's going to take all of us. It's important that every Jesus follower is fully committed to a local church body while also celebrating and supporting fellow evangelical church bodies in the area. In the Kingdom Over Castle podcast, we celebrate what God is doing in our area and seek to inform God's people of opportunities to make a difference for Christ here and now in Northern Nevada.
We are your church. We pray, revive this earth.
All right, I am here with Jim from Fish. Hello, Jim.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Tell us, what does Fish stand for?
Actually, it stands for Friends in Service Helping. Formal name is Friends in Service Helping Emergency Referral Services Program, Inc. So we call ourselves Fish, but we also use it as an acronym to talk about kind of our mission, which is providing food, instruction, shelter, and healthcare. And most people around town in the region recognize our thrift stores and think, oh, you're a thrift store.
Yep.
And it's like, nah, that's just a fundraiser.
Right.
What they don't realize is we've got a free medical clinic, free dental. We help people with paying their utility bills. We have showers and homeless shelters and transitional shelters. And we've got a new program for student housing so people can get their careers going from minimum wage to meaningful careers. And we are a multifaceted nonprofit that relies on the community for support,
yeah.
And we do a ton of stuff.
Yeah, I came and did a tour last week with Jim and learned how much Fish does, because I'll admit, I was similar. I thought, oh, it's a thrift store and a place where people can get food, but I was really impressed. You do a lot more than just that. And we're at the location right now in the middle of Carson City. If you've seen the thrift store, it's the strip mall right behind it where most of the stuff happens. Would that be accurate?
Well, from a Carson standpoint, we also have facilities in the Ranchos in Douglas County. We're in Dayton and Mount House in Lyon County. We service a little bit of Story County out of those as well. But this is more centralized where you can, if somebody wants a tour, come on by. We'll give them a tour and open their eyes to what we do.
Yep.
Because most of the services you can see here. With the exception of some of our homeless shelters and transitional shelters and things of that sort. But everything else is here.
Yeah. So take us through some of the services more specifically. What is maybe the biggest service Fish offers?
Yeah. We're probably about half of our budget. A normal annual budget is about $3.5 million. About half of that goes to food. So we have a dining room. We feed hot meals every day. We've got three food banks where we're giving out food Monday through Friday, basically every week, unless there's a holiday in there someplace. We have a big Thanksgiving feast that'll be coming up on, oddly enough, Thanksgiving, where we'll feed people, you know, a 7-8 course meal for free to bring people who are kind of isolated or don't have any place else to go. So we get a lot of seniors that will attend, as well as some of the homeless. About 15% of the people are homeless that we deal with. So we've got showers and laundry services and replacement clothing and sleeping bags. And you know, we work with some of the local churches to make sure that there's a place for them to sleep in the wintertime.
Right.
So we've got a lot of programs for that. But 85% are probably just the working poor that they live paycheck to paycheck and some kind of emergency comes up and they need help.
You read my mind. That's what I was going to ask, of what percentage of what. So 85%, you'd say people who have jobs or they're trying.
Right.
They have homes, but they're just not quite making enough to make ends meet.
Yeah. The car breaks down. It's like, we can't afford the car payment. It's like, well, tell you, we'll help you with your electric bill. We'll help you with food. You pay for your car.
Right.
And as I've shared with you before, a lot of the drug and alcohol treatment facilities have learned that if someone's going through rehab, that person has to put forth a lot of effort in order to turn their life around. And we kind of go by the same thing. We've got counselors. Anytime someone comes in for service, they've got to meet with one of our counselors and they've got to have goals. And the real focus is, well, how do we make next month better than last month?
Yep.
And if they're not accomplishing some of the goals, then we start to reduce the kinds of services they have until they think, hey, your services are worthwhile.
Right.
And if they, you know, and we tell people, hey, you're too drunk, you're too high, you're too belligerent. Come back when yep. you're in a better mood. Come back when you're sober. So, you know, we try and make people accountable for their own actions. And again, by not being a government agency, relying on the community for our support is a beautiful thing, because then it's yeah. not a one size fits all. We create different kinds of improvement plans for people that come our way, because our whole goal is to get people to self-sufficiency.
Right.
And, you know, we've got people at the very beginning of it, and we got people that, you know, successfully come back and give us some cash going, hey, I want to pay this forward
yep.
because you helped me do things and that I didn't think were possible. And I just tell them, we didn't do it. You did it.
Yeah.
We just gave you some structure so you could.
Sure. And I think that's what our listeners hopefully will get and hear about this, is this isn't just a handout. So when I was in college many years ago, me and a roommate decided we were going to go homeless for a couple days, Santa Monica Pier area in California, yeah. and just thought we would just want to see what it's like so we can relate and figure it out. And all the other homeless told us exactly where to get all the meals and it was really just a lot of them were just content
yeah.
being given whatever they wanted. But that's not the mission of Fish.
No.
I mean, people are hungry. People need to eat. But the mission, as you were expressing, is teaching people to fish rather than just giving them a fish. But yeah. you might need to give them some fish on the way.
Yeah. Well, we say we provide a hand up, not a handout. And certainly we try and, you know, if somebody's fairly well behaved and they're not trying to stab anybody or, you know, be yep. too belligerent, you know, we'll make sure that they get fed. We've got plenty of food that we do that. Both with a open bread lobby that they don't even need to check in with us. They just kind of peruse through and, you know, we call it the bread lobby. It's got bread, but it's got, you know, rotisserie chickens in there and milk and juices and yogurts and all kinds of things that we've got yeah. in excess of. A lot of vegetable gardens
uh-huh.
make it our way, so we get apples and sometimes zucchinis that are a little bigger than
a lot of zucchini. Yep.
But, you know, all those things are just free and available to them.
Yeah.
If they really want a food grant, then we expect them to start doing some things. And it's simple goals. You know,
sure.
someone says they want a job. It's like, well, do you have an ID if you got a job? No. Okay, well, go down. Here's a check. Go down to the DMV, get an ID, come
yep.
back.
Yep.
You know, somebody comes in with a family, says, yeah, we got six people in the family, and we're all starving. I said, well, bring me a tax form or IDs, Mexican ID, I don't care, something.
Yep, yep.
Bring in all the family so that we can count noses and go, yeah,
yep,
it's appropriate
yep.
that we give you six people's worth of food.
Sure.
And some people are, well, that doesn't seem fair. Oh, well, that's fine, but that's the way we do it. If you yeah. want to go someplace yep. else, we can tell you some government agencies that would be happy to provide you food in this
right,
manner.
Right.
But
yeah,
most people think it's worth it. Because we're kind of a tier ahead.
Well, and that's what I was curious. We talked about it a little bit in the tour. You said, here's a room where the magic happens, where the interview happens.
Yeah.
And you kind of gave me a breakdown of how many people come who they don't want help, really. They yeah. just want a handout. Oh, and the percentage that are really motivated. And then there's a big percentage, and remind me what they were, of yeah. that need some motivation.
Yeah. And that's, you basically got a good memory.
Okay.
yeah. So we got people that are highly motivated and they're easy to figure out because you see them, you give them a little bit yep. of direction. And a lot of people come to us, you know, following a divorce, getting out of rehab,
okay.
getting out of prison. They just lost their job. I mean, it could be any number of different things, but, you know, we work to try and restore hope because typically they come to us hopeless. So that's our goal, is to restore hope. Mm. Once we restore hope, they think a little bit differently. If they're willing to think a little bit differently, then they can learn. And if they can learn, they can change behaviors. They change behaviors, they're going to change their life. So
yeah.
We look at people, again, highly motivated people, easy to figure out. Those that you need to motivate, and we've got an extensive database to kind of keep track of how the conversations mm-hmm. have gone and what kinds of services they need and what they say is something important. And then you've got the manipulators that it doesn't matter, you know, what we yep. ask them to do. We're Nazis and terrible people. And,
yep.
and you know, they're going to call the police and they're going to make sure that the FBI, is, you know, a cousin or somebody's going to come and straighten us out.
Yeah.
And we say, well, come back when you're in a better mood. Come back when you want our services.
Yeah.
And so we try not to close the door from those people. And then we got another group of people that are largely on fixed incomes. They might have mental illness. It might be aging issues, physical disabilities, those sorts of things. And pretty much we try and take care of them. But we know that we need to somehow help people hit bottom, if you will, wherever their bottom might be, so that they're willing to change some of their of the ways that they're doing things. And kind of, you know, the Santa Monica Pier example, it's our philosophy that we make it too easy for people to be homeless. When I was growing up, it was like, hey, you better get out there and get a job so you have a roof over your head. And now it's like, well, I don't have to because I got a roof over there. They give me food here, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
I just skateboard around until I get tired. And it's just like, huh, that's not the way it used to be.
Yep. Well, and Fish does do that differently. Now, most of our audience is going to be believers in the Northern Nevada area. So speak to the person who claims to be a Christian or is a Christian, and why should they care about what Fish is doing and consider getting involved?
Yeah, a couple of things. We were started by churches because some of the churches got frustrated with being interrupted. And we find that the church community being involved is excellent because most people need salvation in addition to the food and everything else for real sustainability. I don't know how people go through life without having faith. So that part's critical. But we also talk about this is – it's kind of being – Jesus with skin on, you know, you get to interact with people that have some tragedies and challenges. You're not going to build a relationship with all the people you interact with, but a small portion you will.
Yep.
And there's a lot of relationships get built, mentoring, you know, say, hey, you know, we've got a really good program at our church. You ought to come to it. You know, we got a meal that is, you know, for, you know, men's meal or woman's meal or something like that. And, you know, come and there's free babysitting or, you know, whatever it might be. And people are like, oh man, I'd do that.
Yeah.
You know, just to give me a break. And it's a great way to be able to go out and try and educate people about faith and knowing who they can really rely on.
Yeah.
Way above what Fish can do.
Well, absolutely. Well, and I would speak to the believer who wants to follow Christ. You know, the book of James makes clear. It says that true religion in the sight of God is that we visit orphans and widows in their distress. And all through the Old Testament and New, God really kind of harps on the idea of taking care of those in need. Yeah. And that if you claim to have faith, but you really don't care about those in need, you might need to check yourself. You might not be where you think you are spiritually. What I love about Fish is, you know, being a pastor in a town with a lot of good churches that want to do good things is it's a place to pool the resources.
Yes.
It's a place where, at church, we want to focus on spiritual growth and teaching the word and a lot of those things. And when people come across our path that have some of these needs, there's a place we can send them. That we can trust and support, which I think is really valuable for the local churches trying to carry out the commission God has given us, but somebody who's an expert at it, an organization that has the resources.
And we get taken advantage of from time to time, but for the most part, that's short-lived and we're able to make sure that people are kind of on the right path. So, you know, and, you know, you talk about scriptures. We also, I refer to our thrift stores as, you know, in Acts where they say, you know, so the believers sold their all their goods and that they had and shared with the people in need. So even if they donate or buy something at one of our thrift stores, we've got one in Carson, Mount House, and in Minden, then that money is going to go back to food and medicine and everything else. And then another part of what we do, we teach social workers. We have all kinds of interns from the colleges that come here. We teach med students from UNR, nursing students from UNR. We continue to try and grow people and also make them aware of our way of trying to help people, which we think is much more effective where it's, you know, a program first. If you're willing to follow our program, we're willing to help you in all kinds of ways. And so it sends them out a little better prepared as opposed to listening to the media and everything else of how to handle things.
You have systems in place that have been proven and tested.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's huge. Yeah, being organized. Now, you have a new thing happening.
Yes.
Just a block away, a new construction site. What's happening there?
Yeah. I'll give a little bit of history, but basically we belong to a lot of different agencies. I'm in a number of pastoral groups and everything else, and so we kind of get a good feel for what is going on in the community and what's needed. And about 3 or 4 years ago, it occurred to us, in the community that there's not enough housing for people, and there's all these jobs that are going unfilled because the skill sets aren't there.
Yep.
And so we started working with a group of partners, and since shelter is one of, it's the S of fish, we decided, all right, we're going to go buy an outdated motel built in 1939. It's bulldozed. We're in the process of building apartments for student housing, and we have the whole family. And so if somebody's a single parent or, married and or even single, they can come live there. We'll make it as affordable as possible, oftentimes free, using government vouchers and things of that sort, which we have no problem using to help them out so we get the income. And put them through technical training courses that are relevant to what the local or regional employers are looking for.
Yeah.
So, if somebody has some interest in a technology that's not represented here in the area, we try and guide them to a four-year university or someplace else.
Right.
But if they're interested in IT or medicine or manufacturing or HVAC, diesel mechanics, long-haul trucking, it's like, cool, come on in. We'll help you out. We'll get rid of every financial burden that might keep you from being able to pursue this technology or the technology or the technical expertise.
Right.
And then we'll help set you up with employers and help you to, again, we talk about moving people from minimum wage to meaningful careers, and then we let them transition a bit for as they get used to the new job and then transition out of our housing. And it's kind of like dorms. It's just you can stay there after graduation for a while.
Yep.
But at the same time, being program focused, you've got to get good grades.
Yeah.
And you got to be well behaved in the apartments and just like in a college. It's like if you're flunking out and being disruptive on campus or in the dorms, it's like, sorry, you've just lost your privilege to use our housing.
What a need. I mean, how many people have we seen who get stuck in that minimum wage and they can't get out because they have to work to pay their bills, and housing is one of those humongous bills nowadays, especially rent.
Well, we also help people with their cell phone bills, their car insurance, their car payments. So we get rid of any barrier that's in the way. And again, we can do that by having somebody else pay the rent, whether it be through a Pell Grant or...
Well, it's similar to a kid with quality parents with quality jobs, and the parents help pay for those things so their kids can go to school so that they can set up. You're kind of filling that parent role somewhat for those who need it.
Unfortunately, that's true. I mean, an awful lot of people, burnt bridges in the family and the church and relationships from all over. And what we found is that predominantly, about 80% of the people that have been interested in this program are single parents.
Okay.
Single dads, single moms.
Wow.
Very few that, are married couple. We do have a couple of them. But, and again, they're working two or three jobs, trying to keep the money, trying to figure out how to keep
and help their kids
going
in school
and everything else. And we just take all that away, give them, help them, give them the opportunity to work really hard to get a career. And then the bonus is that as the kids watch mom and dad do homework, the kids start doing homework because all of a sudden it's like, this must be important.
Yeah.
And,
So I like
that. Start to impact generational poverty.
Sure.
And then we also do some training with the family members that aren't going to school so that everybody kind of graduates together. So it's not just one person with a new mindset, but it's the whole family unit with a mindset of how to succeed.
Yep.
And because it's actually hard work to live in a homeless environment, but to get out of homelessness, it's a whole nother kind of hard work and a whole other set of skill sets. And so we've just got to relearn people.
And you're giving them the opportunity to do the hard work. I like the way you said that.
Exactly.
You're not making it easy on them, but the opportunity because life is hard work.
Sure. Well, like we said before, it's not a handout.
Yep. Yep. So how can people listening go, wow, that sounds neat. I didn't know Phish did so much and they're so impactful. How can people in the community come alongside what Phish is doing?
Yeah. Well, and we're kind of set up a lot like churches are. We've got a small staff. I think it's small, but coming from the corporate world. But small staff of about 30, and we've got 250 volunteers or so that make this work. Mm-hmm. So because of that, we're able to be very efficient with the money that gets donated to us or that is generated from the stores. So about somewhere between most years, about 93 cents out of every dollar goes into services. Recently, because of this building project, it's closer to 99%. It's going because every dime to get that thing going and rolling.
Yep.
And it should open in August of 23, of 2023. And so certainly donations are a great thing. Volunteers are a great thing. People that donate quality products that that we can sell. They don't want to do a garage sale, but it's not broken furniture and other things. We can sell that. But we take, you know, we've got things set up where we've taken stocks and bonds and mobile homes and cars. In fact, I got a nice Mercedes out in the parking lot that we're trying to sell right now. You know, property, there's all kinds of different things that people have brought, and usually we'll turn it to cash, but sometimes it's like, oh, this is something we can really use as a part of our ministry or of our services to the community.
Yep.
And we'll incorporate that.
And numbers, an average annual budget for Phish is?
Most years, about $3.5 million is what we go through. Right now, because we've got this project, it's $16 million of construction, and we've raised a little more than $8 million of it.
Okay.
And so each of the last couple of years, we've been averaging $8 to $9 million that we've had to raise. And again, not coming from the government for the most part.
Right.
The government has participated. They told us we had to replace all these water and sewer lines. And I said, okay, for that part of the project, you guys help us somehow. And it's common for construction things where the the people building have to upgrade the roads or the utilities or whatever. So anyway, they've helped us with that. But the problem is when we take government funding for the housing, then it becomes housing first. So you give people a house to live in, and then if they want to volunteer for any services, they can volunteer. But you can't force them. And not our carrot and stick.
Yep,
you know?
So large budget. I mean, average, though, is $3.5 million a year other than the building project. But last year was not that.
Yeah.
last year was over four.
It was over eight, actually.
Over eight.
And we expect it'll probably be, we think that after, you know, in a year, we'll probably average about four because of these additional services. And again, this is a new service that we're going to provide, and it's higher tier, and it's probably less than 1% of our current clients would even qualify for it. So it's going to be hitting a whole nother level of people who just have some challenges.
So it's a big budget, and the thrift store covers 10% of that budget?
They 5%. Cover about 20% of the normal budget.
Of the normal budget,
And nothing, you know, for the construction.
Yep. But,
you know, as I tell people, I pray hard and I work hard. And God seems to have a way of taking care of me, even though I get a little more anxious sometimes than I need to be.
I hear you. Yeah, one of the things we say at church is God's work done God's way never lacks God's provision.
Yeah.
If it's something he wants to do, he'll come up with the money. But also, he works through his people, not around his people. And so he uses his people to provide. How about volunteer-wise? You say you have a lot of volunteers serving. What are maybe the areas where you could use certain skilled volunteers? Is there any area that a unique person, doctor, counselor?
Wide variety.
Okay.
We do have volunteer doctors and nurses that help us. to run the medical clinic. We have volunteers that are excellent. They know their purses inside and out, or their shoes, or the quality of clothing. So they say, hey, that's not a $3 item. That should be a $20 item. And that helps us to...
In the thrift store.
In the thrift store.
Yep.
We have people that, you know, help put together food boxes that that we give out to people. And right now we're, you know, you actually kind of guide the client through the food bank and make sure that they're picking out the things that their family will actually eat, as opposed to just give them a miscellaneous box.
Yep.
So there's that. There's certainly people that can provide some coaching and counseling. We do an awful lot of training with those people so that they know how to use our database and understand some key phrases to use. Most of our buildings are 50 years old. So electrical, drywall people, painters, plumbing. I mean, all those kinds of things come in on a regular basis that we have some needs. So it just it kind of varies across the board.
Okay,
we've got some people that are not very mobile, and so they just kind of have a seat where we hand out dog food and cat food, they kind of watch over the food bank to make sure, or the bread lobby area, just to make sure that nobody's getting out of hand.
Pretty much anybody that wants to serve, there's a spot. There's something they could do.
9 times out of 10, yes.
9 times out of 10, okay.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of donations are typically always needed? That was one of the things I overheard y'all talking the other day of certain, we always need this. What would those items be?
Well, from a food standpoint, it's high protein things. So it's peanut butter, tuna fish, cans of chili, those sorts of things, and canned fruit is key. We'll be giving out hundreds of Thanksgiving baskets, and so we probably need some more cranberries right now. I think we got plenty of stuffing. We're trying to bulk up on turkeys right now because they're saying that there's going to be a turkey shortage, which that just means the prices are going up again.
Yep, that's what that means.
we're trying to work on some of that. In the kitchen itself, typically it's things like butter and number 10 cans of tomato paste or ketchup or something like that to make sauces, barbecue sauces, Italian meals. So it's just, you know, kind of a wide variety. You know, I'd mentioned, I think earlier, that we provide showers and laundry services for people. Disposable razors are a huge thing. Men's and women's underwear.
Yep.
Different sizes of
new
bras.
Preferably new.
Preferably or you know, as long as they're laundered and look tolerable.
Yep.
You know, we don't want them moth ridden or whatever they might be.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be new. But this time of year also, you know, we start giving out an awful lot of gloves.
Okay.
Gloves and hats. And we've got a fair number of coats. But anybody that has, you know, like double X, triple X, quadruple X coats or little kid coats, those are the ones that go the fastest.
Good to know.
So, you know, we've got. Tend to have plenty of medium, large, and extra large.
Yep.
But, and then the teenagers just want hoodies. they don't mind freezing to the sun.
No,
for
they
some
don't. It looks cooler.
Yeah.
Even when it's 20 degrees out.
That's right.
Yep.
But, it just kind of depends. Being multifaceted, there's an awful lot of things.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to bring us prescription drugs that, you know, their doctor said, this isn't working for you. We're going to change your prescription. They go, oh, man, I got a ton of this. Let me get it. Well, we can't take it by law. If we have somebody else's prescription, they can arrest us for dealing drugs.
Yep.
So 15, 20 years ago, we used to be able to do that and be able to reuse really expensive medicine. But that's one of the things we can't do.
Okay.
But we, you know, we deal with a lot of Depends and just, you know, adult diapers, if you will, as well as baby diapers, especially the smaller sizes, baby formula.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
Been an issue.
You
know, baby foods. There's a lot of need in the community.
And we
try and do the best we can to fill it. And, sometimes the easiest thing is to have people come by and we give them a tour and they will tend to radiate to someplace, and sometimes they radiate to someplace, and after a couple of weeks, like, this isn't for me, but over there is.
Sure.
And it's like, all right, we'll try and fit you into the rotation. And during the holidays is we've got a lot of retirees that help us, and they're out visiting grandchildren and things of that sort. So it starts getting a little bit lean in the summers and through Christmas too. So
Yeah. Okay. Well, and we're getting toward Thanksgiving, and there's going to be a inter-church Turkey Bowl football game at Sierra Lutheran. That's nice. A Saturday before Thanksgiving, and one of the big things is bringing food. And y'all are going to have a truck there or van to load up with food, so that'd be neat that would get loaded. But, of course, before then, just come down.
Yeah.
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 Excellent.
And, happy to share with what we're doing and what I always tell people. If you learn something new, go spread the rumor. Unless it's something you don't like, then come back to me first. and let's talk about it. And if I can fix it, great. And if I can't, go ahead and spread the rumor because, you know, we don't mind living by the truth.
Yep. Well, Jim, thank you for your time. And I think the things that stick out to me is you're giving a hand up, not a hand out. I think that's huge. And you're not just a thrift store.
Yeah.
This is a place that's doing a lot of work and needs the community to come around to make it happen.
Yeah. That's basically our report card.
There you go.
So I tell people, see, the community knows if we're doing the job based on the kinds of donations that we're getting. And if our donations are going down, it's not because of the economy. It's because they don't think we're doing our job.
Right. Or don't know. And I'm hoping, again, if you're listening, don't just think about it. Go tell somebody else too.
Yeah.
Because that, when I learned how much you do, that was a big change in my mind to serve here, to be available here.
And a lot of people do Christmas parties or birthday parties and say, well, no gifts for me, but bring something for fish.
Yes.
And so cat food is another thing that we tend to be short on.
Okay.
We normally have enough dog food, but cat food's an issue. But so, you know, people do all kinds of creative things to give.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you, Jim, for your time, and thank you for what you do here and for our community. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Well, it's really God, you know, and he's the one that told me to come here, and I argued with him briefly, and he reminded me who he was, and I went, okay, because I was telling him, that's not what I do.
Yep.
And he says, you don't remember who I am.
Yep.
And next thing I knew, I was running a nonprofit called Fish.
I love it. I love it. He calls us to be faithful and obedient, and he handles the rest.
And I figure he wouldn't have put me here unless he wanted us to be successful. So,
yep. And it, from where I sit, it's doing a lot of great stuff. And I hope more can be done as people hear and get involved.
Perfect.
Excellent. Thanks, Jim. You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Over Castle podcast. If your church is not represented on the website, we want to know about it. Please go to our contact form at our website, which is kingdomovercastlenv.com. Fill out the contact form, and we want to know about your church. We want to include you on the website so that people can find out about you. If you know of a serve opportunity in our area where believers can get behind whatever it is, please go to our website. Let us know about that. If your church wants to be included, and we hope you do, in our ongoing tracking of salvations in our area, please, again, go to our website at kingdomovercastlenv.com, fill out the contact form, and we will create an ongoing communication with you, with your church, so that we can know what God is doing. Serve opportunities, celebrations of salvations and baptisms, and all of that can be included on the website as well as on the podcast. So thank you for listening, and we want to know what God is doing. Thank you very much.
Church, we pray, revive this earth.